What's up, everyone from all around the world, including Canada, USA, Long Island, plus the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. I'm here to guide and help you about Anchor. Anchor is a free hosting site and phone app which is owned by Spotify. It's the easiest, awesome way to make a podcast. Why are you wasting your money paying for a hosting site to promote your podcast with limited storages? Forget about it. Let me break it down to you. There's creation tools that allow you to record, edit, monetize, add music, intros, music outros, especially distribute your podcast to streaming platforms, uploading episodes with unlimited storages of your podcast right from your phones, computers, laptops, and tablets. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Plus, you get paid some money in your pocket from sponsorships. Excellent. These are the keys you need to make a podcast, including the listeners supporting your show. That way, you can listen to the episodes of my show, Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast, the unfiltered comedy entertainment show about the stories mixed with entertainment news, music, real life segments, and much more. Now, where can you find, follow, and listen to the show, you ask? You can follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram, all in one word, Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast. Alongside with my other show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, and my primary handle, G-Money Stacks 555 in Queens, New York. Now, the streaming platforms goes like this. We are on Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Podorama, Listen Notes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, Player FM, TuneIn, Reason FM. We are on Podfriend, Podorama, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. If you have a dream of creating and becoming a podcaster like myself and individual friends that is co-hosting with me, go download the free Anchor app or you can check out anchor.fm to get started. Take advantage of the opportunity that's thrown in your face. If I could do it and reach success, so can you. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for listening. Let's go. Yes. Good evening, everyone. Tuning in from Canada, USA, Long Island, the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens, of course, all around the world included. I'm your man, G-Money Stacks, a.k.a. Lonely Nomad, a.k.a. Gregonator, a.k.a. Lonely Nomad, a.k.a. YouTuber with shows on YouTube and aka host with the most, aka rookie podcaster of Queens, New York. And you are now tuning in and rocking with the 64th episode of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast. And we got a great show for you today with some new topics. Took a hiatus, which was a good thing. And also, before I get to the YouTube, be sure to follow me on 17 Live, which is the app. I'll explain at the end of the show about that. So be sure to follow me on 17 Live, G Money Stacks, Queens, New York. I forgot to mention that yesterday, but here we go. Now, if you're new to the channel and a new listener, welcome. Welcome to the show. And you missed any previous episodes whatsoever, don't worry, I got you. All you need to do is grab the subscribe button and be sure to enable alerts alongside with the notification bell for more video content, upcoming episodes, when the show goes in the air live via live stream, previous episodes. Be sure to leave a like and a comment, share the video, and also share the podcast along with audio streaming platforms, which will be explained at the end of the show. Listen, before I even get started with chatting on the jazz, I previously addressed something yesterday during the recording of Meticulous Five Juice podcast about the thumbnail situation. And the reason why I don't put my face on there is because I'm not trying to be famous. You know what I'm saying? Understand that I'm not trying to be famous or anything like that. Look, guys, if you want to see me in action on YouTube, all you gotta do is click one of the videos and you'll see my face in action. Plain and simple. I just want to get this out the way. That way it's not brain surgery for you guys. So let's get to it. Now, first segment I'd like to go into is chatting on the jazz. And for those of you who may not know what chatting on the jazz is about, it's basically not only the trending topics, but it's also about the stories that don't get the recognition like the light of day. So I like to address those, which includes, you know, certain stories that's related to mass transit in a segment called the New York Mass Transit Files, alongside with other segments. So without further ado, let's get started with the first topic right here. My first question is this. Why in the hell would you want to make a fucking Karen movie? Are you that dumb? What is Netflix thinking? Making a fucking Karen movie. It's worse than that other movie that had to do with child pornography or pedophilia or some shit, which I'm not going to get into. But come on, man. Are you really that serious that your brain is all scrambled up that you want to make a quick buck? Really though? And for those of you who may not know what the ridiculous, stupid Karen movie is about, I'm gonna get to it though. So basically, it's a 2021 American dark crime dramedy thriller film written and directed by Coke Daniels and starring Tamron Manning. The title of the film is a reference to the stereotype of the same name. The film was critically panned upon release. I don't know why. Well, let's get over this, man. This is ridiculous. Okay, so the premise is about Malik and Imani are young black couple who move into a house in the suburbs. When they arrive, they are greeted by a seemingly friendly white neighbor named Karen Drexler. However, this facade slowly reveals a bitter, jealous, angry, and racist woman who wants to remove the couple at any cost. And this was released in August. And no. In August 2021, which was a month ago, it was announced that Quiver Distribution acquired North American distribution rights to the film, which was released theatrically and on demand on September 3rd, 2021, which it shouldn't have happened. That stupid-ass movie should not have seen the light of day. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. On the review aggregator website, Rotten Tomatoes, which categorized reviews only as positive or negative, 21% of 19 reviews are positive with an average rating of 3.10 out of 10. Let me tell you something, you Netflix motherfuckers. You guys created a movie that had to do with fucking pornography and pedophilia, okay? This one right here is the most cringe-worthy movie ever compared to that ridiculous Cruella movie. Okay? And the reason why I'm not going to see those movies is because of the fact that it's very, very, very ridiculous and it's just not really, I don't find that interesting to have a movie like Karen or Cruella or whatever. To be honest with you, they both suck. Okay? They both suck. Speaking of sucky ass movies, we got a crazy ass story to get to. And this is something I heard this morning from the Breakfast Club. And this is involving a lawyer who is wearing a fucking Michael Myers Halloween costume from the movies and stuff. And here it goes. According to the New York Post, Texas attorney arrested at the beach stroll dressed as Halloween slasher. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Why the hell would you wear a Halloween costume like a Michael Myers, knowing that Halloween is 1 month away? We're close to October. It's kind of early to be wearing a costume, and then you're wearing it on the beach. Anyways. Oh, man. Man, listen. All right, so check this out. A Halloween enthused attorney was arrested after he took a stroll down a Texas beach dressed as slasher movie villain Michael Myers, complete with a fake blood-covered knife. Galveston attorney Mark Metzger turned to cosplay horror dressed as the silent Halloween killer when Hurricane Nicholas shut down courts for the day on Monday, he told KTRK. Oh, wow. Metzger's stroll got viral attention on social media and from local police. Okay. So, not everybody knows what's going on, but I think it's pretty clear that it's a prank, he told KTRK. And he said like this: it's something to be laughed at. It's not a crazy guy with a chainsaw walking around. It's a known fictional character with a kitchen knife. Metzger said when police first approached him, he tried to stay in character as the killer, but he soon realized authorities meant business and apparently even drew their weapons.
someone had called 911, the Galveston County Daily News reported. It felt like a scene out of Scooby-Doo after he handcuffed me and pulled the mask off, Metzger said in the KTRK interview. It was like, oh, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those mentally carried.
I hear this all the time. I hear this shit all the fucking time, man. And that's crazy, man. And for those of you that's listening and watching on Livid on the live stream, I'm also doing the live stream on, not Livid, it's 17 live. And like I said in the previous show, I will do a feature episode discussing the rebranding about it, but not in this episode. Anyway, he was cited for disorderly conduct and released. A police spokesman told the Daily News, but Metzger said he was still fuzzy about what he had done that was illegal. You think? Crazy ass. Man, this is ridiculous, man. I'm sorry. This is the stupidest thing. What the hell was he thinking? You know, wearing a fucking Halloween costume on a beach to do a prank. That's the obvious stupidest shit that I ever heard. Like, why would you do this shit? Anyway, also, probably going to be recapping a little bit of the summer. And this has to do with shark sighting at Jones Beach. Yeah, I'll be scared too. I would be scared of sharks too if it was in the damn ocean. Okay, according to another New York Post article, shark sighting possible lifeguard attack halts swimming at Long Island Beach. A shark was spotted in the waters off Jones Beach on Tuesday, just a day after a lifeguard was apparently attacked by one of the predators at the Long Island State Park. It's pretty obvious, man. If you're gonna be in the water and you know that there's fucking sharks in the middle of the ocean or the beach or whatever, man, don't even think about going deep in the water. Don't even think about it, man. Okay. The sighting took place just after 11 a.m. and folks were ordered to get out of the ocean, according to the New York State Parks officials. Swimming remained closed for at least an hour. Park officials said several other local shark sightings have been reported during the last week, including Monday morning when a Jones Beach lifeguard was possibly bitten by one. Sheesh! Damn, man. The lifeguard was on his body board to be exact, about 15 yards from shore when he felt something gnawing his ankle, a source told NBC4 New York. He was left with a 1-inch gash on his leg and treated at the scene before being taken to a hospital for further examination, an official said. Swimming was suspended for 3 hours after the incident, and state police launched a drone to inspect the waters. Hang on, guys, as I take a sip of water. Gonna need this. Okay. All right. Okay, where did I leave off? Okay. Officials on Tuesday said they would heightened patrols along the Long Island State Park beaches, including Jones Beach and Robert Moses State Parks. Cops were using drones as well as a helicopter to monitor the area, a state police spokesman said. With assistance from New York State Police,
we are expanding our measures to patrol for sharks and other potentially dangerous marine animals. State Parks Commissioner Eric Kohl said in a statement, in quote, "I encourage all New Yorkers to familiarize themselves with the steps they can take to stay safe while enjoying a day at the beach." Well, that's a lesson that we could learn from here. That's a good lesson to hear. We're gonna go to the whole, before I even go to the Rick Ross thing and the let me talk about the whole fucking whole craziness that everybody's been talking about with this whole enforcement of the mandate, which happened September 13th. So this is according to CBS News. This is pertaining to the announcement that Joe Biden did, and the story goes like this. Washington, President Biden announced the most sweeping COVID-19 vaccine requirements yet on Thursday, which will affect roughly 100 million Americans. The new measures include a vaccine mandate for all federal workers and contractors, and a requirement that large companies must mandate vaccines or regular testing for employees. "My job as president is to protect all Americans," Mr. Biden said Thursday. "So tonight I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week." Mr. Biden noted that many large companies already require vaccinations. The bottom line, "We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated co-workers," he said. The Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration is developing a rule requiring all employers with at least 100 employees to make sure their workforce is fully vaccinated or require unvaccinated workers to get a negative test at least once a week. OSHA will issue an emergency temporary standard to introduce the vaccine requirement. Companies that fail to comply could face fines of $14,000 per violation. Damn. That was just one of the mandates and changes the president announced in a speech on boosting vaccinations and battling the COVID-19 pandemic. The president also announced vaccination requirements for healthcare providers that accept Medicare and Medicaid, for all federal employees and contractors, and for the staffs of Head Start programs, Department of Defense schools, and Bureau of Indian Education operated schools. Mr. Biden had announced in July the federal workforce would need to provide evidence that they had been vaccinated or submit to regular testing and practice social distancing measures in the workplace. Man, and within hours of his speech, as you can hear the car, the Republican National Committee announced that it plans to file a lawsuit against the Biden administration. Jeez Louise, man. Joe Biden told Americans when he was elected that he would not impose vaccine mandates. RNC Chairman Ronna McDonald said in a statement Thursday he lied. "Now small businesses, workers, and families across the country will pay the price. Like many Americans, I am pro-vaccine and anti-mandate. Many small businesses and workers do not have the money or legal resources to fight Biden's unconstitutional actions and authoritarian decrees. But when his decree goes into effect, the RNC will sue the administration to protect Americans and their liberties. The new mandates are part of a six-pronged White House strategy to battle the COVID-19 Delta variant and boost vaccinations as cases, hospitalizations, and deaths continue to climb. The six pillars are vaccinating the unvaccinated, further protection for the unvaccinated, keeping schools safely open, increasing testing and requiring masking, protecting economic recovery, and providing care for those with COVID-19. The president started out his speech by saying he knows many are frustrated with the 25% of adults in the U.S. who have yet to get a single COVID-19 shot. That's 25% can do a lot of damage, he said. He made an appeal directly to unvaccinated Americans. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? He said, we've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal has cost all of us, so please do the right thing. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said earlier Thursday there will be limited disability and religious exceptions to the federal employee vaccine requirement. Those who are not exempt and do not comply will be subject to disciplinary action, including possible termination, she said. There are limited exceptions, but yeah, the expectation is that if you want to work in the federal government or be a contractor, you need to be vaccinated unless you are eligible for one of the exemptions, Psaki told reporters. The American Federation of Government Employees, the largest federal employee union, is taking issue with the mandatory vaccine requirement, even though it has encouraged workers to get vaccinated. AFGE President Everett Kelly said that changes like this should be negotiated with our bargaining units where appropriate, and he said the union expects to bargain over this rule before it's implemented. Still, Psaki said the president has every intention of signing this executive order, getting the clock running on the timeline for these requirements. And his view and our view is this will serve as a model to the rest of the country on the need to get more people vaccinated in order to save more lives. The president also announced measures to ensure kids are adequately protected in classrooms as he aims to make more testing available. He's also urging states to require vaccinations for all schools and teachers and staffs. Mr. Biden also said he's using the Defense Protection Act to ramp up the production to rapid COVID-19 tests, and at-home rapid tests will be available at major pharmacies over the next several months at cost. CBS has learned the president will raise the issue of COVID-19 vaccination effort on a global scale with other world leaders when they meet at the United Nations General Assembly later this month. A senior administration official told CBS News that while they are still planning, the president's schedule around UN General Assembly high level week, it is safe to assume we are actively looking at COVID-19 and public health centered options. The official stopped short of calling it a summit, but added that the administration anticipates, end quote, that there will be an opportunity for the president to engage with his counterparts on this issue during UNGA week. One topic expected to be discussed among Mr. Biden and his counterparts, according to a second administration official, will be about advancing and improving international cooperation on research and development on the COVID-19 front. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, 75.2% of American adults have at least one COVID-19 vaccine shot. But community transmissions across most of the country remains high, as the Delta variant makes up nearly all of the country's cases. Nearly 650,000 people have died in the U.S. from COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic last year. Listen, man, I want to say something about this shit, though, man. And I recently was watching TV, and there was like a group of people that were protesting and stuff. And you know, one of them was talking about fundamental rights and personal rights and stuff like that. But and then people talk about freedom. But the thing about having freedom is having responsibilities, okay? And this is not about your, this is not about fundamental rights. This is not about personal beliefs or whatever. It's not about religious bullshit, okay? This is about public health. And the only thing you don't have a right to do is kill people with a deadly, dangerous disease, okay? I'm not trying to say this to scare anybody or whatever, but I gotta be honest, man. And I think this whole mandate thing kind of makes sense. And the reason I say that is because, number one, this Delta variant is multiplying like crazy. And this is a global pandemic. I call it the slandemic because it's been ruining a lot of lives. And like I said before, like, we cannot afford to have a second lockdown, because if that happens, you know, the economy and people's livelihood on their paychecks and everything is gonna get ruined. Like, you don't want to ruin the lives of people because you don't want to take responsibility to, you know, take one particular shot of the whether it's Pfizer, whether it's Moderna, whatever. But at the same token, you gotta understand something. The more we prolong this pandemic, the harder it is for everybody to get their regular lives. And I'm sorry that a lot of people feel a way about their so-called freedom or whatever. Part of having freedom is also having responsibilities and caring about other people. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, man, I would much rather get it over with rather than me being around people that are unvaccinated. I'm sorry. But at the same time, I'm not going to just jeopardize some people's lives just because you know, one out of the other doesn't want to care about not only other people but themselves. So that's just my take on this whole thing. This is not about fundamental rights. This is not about personal beliefs. This is not about religious stuff. And I do understand how certain people who got kids and stuff who can't really get their child vaccinated or whatever, which is understandable. That's understandable. What I would do if I had a kid or whatever, and he or she can't get vaccinated or whatever, let me tell you something. I would talk to some people about this. I would ask some questions.
and actually, you know, get some information about it. So that way, you know, you don't have to worry about any misconstrued information. And one thing I have to say about certain people that are conspiracy theorists who have misleading information to put fear in people and stuff like that. Fuck you. Now we got another story that deals with the whole vaccination shit. And this is involving Netflix, Google, and I believe Facebook. And this is according to Flipboard.com. So, those who are unvaccinated and want to continue working at Netflix, Facebook, or Google in the near future better roll up their sleeves and get, wow. Let's continue to read this shit. Hold on, guys. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so those who are unvaccinated and want to continue working at Netflix, Facebook, or Google in the near future better roll up their sleeves and get the jab because it'll be mandatory. The news that all three media behemoths would be requiring COVID vaccines for in-office / on-set work came down Wednesday. Google CEO Sundar Pichai reportedly sent an email to employees saying they were delaying their full office return to October the 18th due to the recent Delta spikes. He also noted, however, that anyone coming back to work in the office after that would have to be inoculated and show proof. It's unclear if Google will continue to let employees work from home part-time, something they said they allowed back in December, with workers required to come in at least 3 days a week once things were totally back to normal. What is normal these days? I have no idea what normal is anymore. To be honest with you folks, I really don't know what normal is anymore. Normal is just the whole eye of the beholder type shit. So let's see. Facebook came out and said they be doing the same soon, confirming that employees looking to come work at U.S. offices going forward would need to prove they've gotten a shot, while also offering a small concession for those who don't get vaxxed, saying medical and or other reasons will be considered and evaluated as they navigate a way forward. Netflix implemented something similar this week as well. They reportedly told their in-house production teams and partners that folks working in Zone A, which encompasses actors and those in close proximity to them, would be required to be vaxxed up. They seem to be the first studio to draw a hard line in the sand on this issue, and other studios may follow suit now that they've taken this uncertain first step. Netflix regular employees, meanwhile, have by and large been WFH during the pandemic, something their CEO Reed Hastings has suggested he hates and wants to put an end to as soon as the majority of his workforce is vaccinated. He called WFH a pure negative. It's an interesting move on everyone's part. More and more companies seem inclined to mandate the jab as time goes on, which is bad news for anti-vaxxers. Wow. I'm going to tell you something like this, though. Let me tell you something right now.
Like I always say, when it comes to situations like this, though, you're not invincible to a disease. And I'm gonna keep saying this again. You are not fucking invincible to a disease. It doesn't matter how fucking healthy you are. This is about public health. And it's not just, and like I said, man, it's not about your religious belief, your religious stuff. It's not about your fundamental rights, your personal stuff. That part, I probably understand that. But at some point, this is not a win-win situation. This is a lose-lose fucking situation. And not to sound like a Debbie Downer, but it's a fucking fact. All right. I just want to really make this clear so that way you guys don't really think that I'm like, you know, taking sides or whatever. It's not about taking sides, man. If one of my friends or my sister could end up getting the first shot or whatever, then there's a chance that you might not be dead to rights, okay? This is about caring about other people besides yourself. And let me just hold on a second, guys. Oh, there we go. I'm gonna make a correction on there after the show. So anyway, let me see how much I have time. All right. Okay. So we haven't heard about Rick Ross in a minute, other than the fact that he was featured in a Wild Now episode. Now, this article is according to the source, so here we go. So this is according to source. Basically, Rick Ross gets his driver's license at age 45. For those of you who may not know, there was a previous story of the fact that he was featured in a video of TMZ basically talking about that he has over 100 cars, and for the simple fact that he didn't even get a chance to get a license all these years. That's crazy, son. But you know what? Let's get into this story. Okay. He may own a fleet of luxury vehicles, but rapper Rick Ross wasn't legally allowed to drive any of them until recently. While on the Today Show promoting his new book, The Perfect Day to Boss Up, the rapper revealed that he had finally gotten his driver's license at age 45, almost three decades after many Americans get theirs. He said he got his license at the urging of his mother and sister, who had been nagging him to stop joyriding and because local law enforcement had pulled him over more than once. Even the boss didn't get a perfect score on the DMV test. The rapper shared that he went to the DMV and took the test. "It took me an hour, you know. I missed a few answers, but I got it. Ross's car collection reportedly consists of upwards of 100 cars, ranging from stock vintage cars to luxury custom cars, including several 1950s models of Chevrolet Bel Airs, a custom 1960s Chevrolet Impala, a Bugatti, a Bugatti Chiron. Regera. Koenigsegg Regera, Lamborghini Aventador, and at least one Mercedes Maybach S-Class, fitting for his record label name. Alas, Rick Ross is no longer riding dirty, although no word as to whether or not he elected to be an organ donor on his license. Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting to hear. So let me see if there's any story that I could tackle before I even wrap up. Let's see. Hold on, guys. Let's see what's up. All right. Let me see. Okay. I can actually talk about Charles Barkley. Oh, wow. Okay. And this is according to TMZ Sports, of course. You know, the guy always has something to say, but he always got some slick shit to say. So here we go. So this is according to TMZ Sports. Charles Barkley titled NBA should make players get COVID-19 vaccine. Okay. So he said the only people who are not vaccinated are just assholes. Charles Barkley is taking a strong stance on the COVID-19 vaccine, saying the NBA as well as all other pro sports leagues should make it a requirement in order to compete. As we previously reported, the NFL announced a policy that will penalize teams with potential fines and forfeited games if an unvaccinated player causes a coronavirus outbreak. Guidelines that has superstar DeAndre Hopkins tweeting about contemplating retirement. The 58-year-old Hall of Famer says the virus is too serious to give people an option. Can you imagine if one of these guys that are not vaccinated, if they get one of these players' kids, wives, girlfriends, moms, and dads sick, and they die over some unnecessary conspiracy bullshit? Barkley said, according to CNBC, I think that would be tragic. Chuck says players need to treat their careers like those with regular day jobs, and there will be things they don't want to do but have to. There's shit you can't do at work, and there's shit you have to do at work, Barkley added. So every workplace has rules, and I think one of the rules should be that guys have to be vaccinated. Okay. He's right. I have to agree with him on this because, you know, we're dealing with a battle of this deadly, deadly, dangerous disease, which is the Delta variant and the coronavirus that's been going on for quite some time, for the past 18 or 19 months. This is a fucking nightmare that we're going through. It's like being in a nightmare on Elm Street from hell. And I will say this, though. As I previously just said, though, man, this is not about being invincible to a disease. This is about public health and caring for other people. Other than your crazy-ass conspiracy theories you've been listening to, whether it's from YouTube or other stuff, these motherfuckers are the people who have misleading information to post fear on other people. And that's not funny. Like you're trying to take advantage of other people and their vulnerability to be on some next shit. It's just It's too much, man. This is just too much, man. I hate to say this. This is just too much. Anyway. Let's see. What else can I talk about here before I wrap up this damn thing? All right. Hang on a second, guys, as I look up another story. Wait a minute. I didn't even talk about the Sean Penn thing. No, this was months ago, actually. And this is pertaining to Sean Penn saving lives with COVID vaccination demand. So, X-Men star Alexander Shipp is praising Sean Penn to the skies, saying she's down with his demand that no one be allowed on a movie set who is not vaccinated. We got Alexander at LAX Friday and asked about Sean refusing to set foot on any set where unvaccinated people are allowed in. She thinks Sean's a hero in saving lives. Sean has said he won't return to the set of his new production, Gaslit, until the entire crew gets shot. The movie is a modern-day version of Watergate. Sean plays Attorney General John Mitchell, who played a pivotal role in the scandal. Penn represents a growing number of people who are sick of the unvaccinated calling the shots. It's become infuriating for some that masks and other mandates have been imposed on the vaccinated because of those unwilling to get a COVID shot. France has an interesting solution. Anyone who isn't vaccinated by September won't be forced to get a shot, but they'll be barred from restaurants, concerts, and sporting events. Sounds like a good plan.
Well, actually, yeah, it is a great idea to actually, people have tough decisions to make, and certain people in certain positions and stuff like that, whether it's companies and stuff, I do understand about the safety of public health and stuff like that. And I do also agree, as I previously stated in previous episodes ago, that sometimes you gotta do something uncomfortable rather than being comfortable. We all are forced to do things that we don't want to do, but sometimes it got to be done. You know what I'm saying? And this is not a matter of me taking sides. Let me just be crispy, crystal clear. This is not about me taking sides of anything. This is about being realistic. I know I am. Are you? And speaking of which, let's see if I can find another article while I'm at it. Let's see. Hot new hip hop. Let's go. Okay. Give me a second, folks, as I take a drink. Let me see who's in the live stream while I'm at it. Hold on. Mark DeLona, hello. Welcome to the live stream. And thank you for the snack 99. And hello to 99 that's tuning in. Of course, for anyone that's actually listening out there in 17 Live,
I want you to know that I will be doing live streams for podcast show episodes. So that way you can see me in action. And hopefully you'll be able to get to know me if you have any questions or whatever and stuff like that. I'm willing to answer anything depending on what the question is, but make sure it's not a crazy, stupid question, all right? Let's see. Wait a minute. Frank Ocean. Okay, wait a second. Let's take a look at this. All right. We haven't heard from Frank Ocean in a minute. So Frank Ocean is reportedly preparing the roll-up for his follow-up to 2016's Blondie. It's been a whole lot of waiting for the release of two of the most anticipated albums of the year, Drake's Certified Lover Boy and Kanye West's Donda, which I'm not going to review. I'm glad I reviewed Nas's album because his is a lot better than Donda shit, man. Like, ain't nobody going to listen to no fucking 30 tracks of an album. Like, get out of here. Same way nobody's going to listen to a Chris Brown album that has 45 tracks. Like, come on, son. Anyway, released within 6 days of each other, both albums went on to do astronomical streaming numbers and sales and will likely remain in conversation until the year's end. However, it looks like we'll be getting some other major releases later this year from a few new artists that we haven't heard from in a while. So according to Hits Daily Double, we might be getting a new album from Frank Ocean in the near future. Though no timeline has been set, the report says that the singer has been shopping his album around to music executives in recent times. The album is rumored to be fucking great. According to the report, he and his team of attorneys have been taking meetings with different label executives as he plots the release of his new album. This would mark his first album since 2016's Blonde. In addition to releasing a brand new album, it looks like Frank Ocean is also preparing to return to the stage. As we reported this summer, Frank Ocean was confirmed to be a headliner for Coachella 2023 by founder Paul Tollett. During an interview with the LA Times, Frank was initially slated to headline the 2020 festival, but that and the 2021 edition were both canceled due to the pandemic. Wow. Speaking of Frank Ocean, I couldn't help notice that he was at some event. I think it was the Met Gala, and I couldn't help notice that he had not only green hair, but he has some type of doll or robot or some shit. I'm like, this is like one of the, I don't know, man. This is like one of the weirdest things that I ever seen for the first time. Oh my goodness. This is one of the strangest shit that I ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding, man. This is just beyond crazy right here. Let me see who's on here. Yeah. Hold on, guys. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. I do have One more thing that I want to actually, I do have one more thing that I want to actually get to. I did see, let me see. So let me just say, okay. So I heard from Diddy, okay. Okay, Diddy doesn't think Jermaine Dupri has enough hits for Versus match, T.I. responds. Love Combs made it clear once again that he wants to take on Dr. Dre and only Dr. Dre. Diddy is feeling the heat tonight, September 14th, and he wasn't even the one on the Versus stage. We've been reporting on Fat Joe and Ja Rule's matchup, which I will talk about in a future episode. Along with the aftermath that followed. And while fans are fiercely debating the night's highlights, Diddy has been stirring the pot. Hip hop's fans have been rallying for the Bad Boy Mogul to take to the stage, but he has repeatedly stated for over a year now that he is only interested in pairing up with Dr. Dre during the verses this evening. Fans stated that they wanted to see Diddy and Jermaine Dupri go toe to toe, a look that Dupri co-signed, but Sean Combs was clear that the Aftermath icon was his pick. Meanwhile, Diddy also spoke directly to Dupri, detailing why he believes he would wash the Social Def founder. Beloved, you my nigga, but your arms too short to box with God. Oh, wow. He wrote, you ain't got enough hits. I'll smash you with just Biggie Mary. He is a trip. He's a fucking trip, man. Oh, man. But I do have the utmost respect on you as a musical legend. Dre, the only one can get in the ring with me. Love. Black heart emoji. Those were some big words that elicited a huge response, including a comment from T.I. And he said, in quote, I disagree. Side notes. Why do I feel New York niggas, most of which I love, look up to, appreciate, and respect, always feel like they so much above competition with their Atlantic Southern constituents? At 50, ducking me, saying the same way at Jermaine Dupri. Wow. Wow, this is gonna be. So Jermaine Dupri said on Twitter, somebody let Diddy know I'm the garden right now, and he gonna need some train for me. Oh shit. Oh man. So this person 500, no, the matchup makes no sense stylistically. Diddy versus Jermaine Dupri was the one that made a lot of sense. Both have their hands in classic and iconic R&B records and rap records. Wow. DJ, he says a Diddy versus Jermaine Dupri versus must be in the works for real, because they're doing a lot of yapping tonight. But sit, fund my business. The Queendom BBTX says, but seriously, if Diddy had more hits than Jermaine Dupri, he would have been in the Songwriters Hall of Fame over him and the other Sean from New York City. And Diddy does not have more hits than Jermaine Dupri. JD is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Diddy is on somebody's college campus looking for the next victim. They're not the same. That's true. That's true right there. Diddy is heavily underestimating Jermaine Dupri's pen. And this person, Toxic Vibes, who says, why Diddy acting like Jermaine Dupri doesn't have Bow Wow, Usher, Mariah Carey, Jagged Edge, Escape the Brat under his belt, though? He did songs with TLC, Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Janet Jackson, etc. It won't be a clean sweep battle. He's right. He's right, though. Oh, man. Why the hell would you name yourself Love, man? I'm sorry, but that's like the dumbest thing you ever. You've been switching up names for years, man. Like, really, though? You're gonna call yourself Love? That is not that is not a good name. That is not a government name, man. That's a common name. Oh, man. So this person, Jamal Christopher, says, like Jermaine Dupri legit producing the whole song, the music, the writing, the raps, the singing, he doing it all. That wasn't always Diddy. Rapper Ray says, how Diddy is ducking the Jermaine Dupri versus Smoke. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, man. Man, listen, man. I think that's just the way to actually go out with a bang, man. This is a way to actually go out with a bang, with a sense of humor. And we're going to do another one right here. All right. Let me see. I did wanted to do a segment in regards to a trendsetter who has a business. And this segment is called the Black Owned Trendsetter Shoutout. Actually, Black Owned Trendsetter Shoutouts is the name of the segment. And this week's Black Owned Trendsetter Shoutout segment is about a Bronx, New Yorker who has a clothing line with the same name. And the name goes by the name of Kay McAvell. She's also a music artist and along with other things online. She's also an entrepreneur who has a clothing line, whether it's t-shirts, whether it's hoodies, whether it's like anything that you could think of, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm actually proud of her. For doing what she loves, you know what I'm saying? And you know, maybe someday I might even have her on the show. Who knows, man? And if you like to you know, get your merch by Kay McAvell, all you gotta do is, like, you know, follow her on Instagram, which is Kay McAvell. Be sure to follow her, be sure to follow her ventures as far as like the clothing line and, you know, what's going on and stuff. So Kay McAvell is our Black owned trendsetter shout out. So shout outs to her, man. And that's going to do it, man, for episode 64 of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast. If you like what you heard,
feel free to show some love by making a charitable donation to my Cash App, which is $GMoneyStacks555. That's $GMoneyTackz555. All right. It's not about breaking the bank, you guys. It's about whatever amount that you could afford is what really matters. You don't have to have a lot of money to actually support somebody. Basically, this is about, you know, supporting the show and as far as, like, you know, growth, you know what I'm saying? Because this show is going through some levels and some development. So it really takes time to actually, you know, let it grow. And hopefully when I reach over 80s, the 90s, over 100 episodes and stuff like that, then yeah. This is more like a wait and see for me, man. And like I said, man, I'm going to be continuing to be independent because, and I said this before, and I'll say it again, I'm not trying to be famous and I'm not trying to be under a bunch of yes men in production companies or you know, fancy studios or whatever, because I got two bills and a bus fare that I have to take care of. So, you know what I'm saying? That's why I can't really, because like I said, man, it's difficult to be in, you know, particular recording studios around people. And it's very difficult to know who's vaccinated and who's unvaccinated. And I would feel uncomfortable being around people who are unvaccinated. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? And you don't gotta take my word for it though. And I'm just being realistic here. So there you go. And listen, if you like to get to know me, like I said before, man, make sure you follow me on 17 Live at G Money Stacks, Queens, New York. That's G Money Stacks, Queens, New York, on Live 17. All right. Also, of course, be sure to follow my homeboy, a good friend of mine. I will be reviewing his music real soon. Be sure to follow Scorpio P under Mr. Phil Aliens, alongside with MF underscore Optimus. Not to be confused with Optimus Prime, folks. They got a show called the Break Room Sports Podcast right now, man. And you know, make sure you follow them on Instagram alongside with the Mighty Ivy, who has you know, Raw Zone. Let me pull up the YouTube channel handle before I even butcher this. All right. Let me pull this up. Hang on, guys. Let me see. Let me make sure I don't butcher this. And who's this? Hey, Tammy, thank you for the snack. Appreciate it. Let me look for the thing. All right. I'm sorry, guys. So it's Raw. So it's Raw Zone. Let me see. Hold on. So, let me see. If I'm not mistaken,
Sorry for the delay, folks. I'm trying to look for a YouTube channel that I subscribed to recently. And this is pertaining to Freedom Sports Podcast. Hang on. Okay. So, if you want to know about the Breakman Sportscast, they're coming up next. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, which is Raw Zone NYC. And to spell it out is RAWRRZONNYC. That's RAWRRZONNYC. That's Raw Zone NYC. That's where you could watch the Breakman Sports Podcast with Scorpio P, Marie, and Katie, aka Mighty Ivy. And like I said, man, be sure to follow them on Instagram, which is Mr. Philliams, alongside with Marie, which is MF_Optimus, not to be confused with Optimus Prime from Transformers. Oh man, listen. And also while I'm on the Instagram handle thing, you can also follow the show Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast on Facebook and Instagram, all in one word, alongside with my other show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, which I just did a review yesterday for Mr. TKO, aka T. Howard. For those of you who may not know, he is a Bronx, New Yorker, who is the co-host of the All Time Struggle Podcast, alongside with my homeboy Corey Does It All, alongside with Crazy Too Wild, alongside with the rest of the crew. So shout outs to them. And also you can follow me on the gram, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. And also be sure to keep an eye out for my third show, which is going to be dedicated to sports. And I will discuss the meaning behind the show. I will discuss that. So you can follow my third podcast show, which is called Excellent Fun Vibrant Podcast, which is the sports edition show dedicating to the stories in sports regarding athletes, you know, not just stats, but in, you know, basketball, there's baseball, there's football, there's tennis, there's, of course, you know, the Olympic games like running track, of course, volleyball. I don't know if I'm going to cover, you know, shooting pool, and I'm not sure if I'm going to cover, I'm not sure if I'm going to cover bowling games. I'm not sure, but maybe next year I might do that. Who knows? So, listen, now we go to the streaming platforms on the go where you can listen to episodes. If I can find it, hang on a sec. hang on a second. And just a minute here, guys. I need to change something real quick. Hang on a second. Okay, here we go. All right. Now, streaming platforms on the go.
where you can listen to Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast episodes. Now, we are on Podorama. We are on Anchor. And I just added this show along with Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast to this new app called Audacity. And Audio Burst, we're on Deezer, TuneIn, plus Alexa, Player FM, Podchaser, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, Breaker, Listen Notes, Podbay, Podfriend. Don't forget to go to the links in the link tree of Podchaser and Podfriend so you can leave a 5-star rating, even though you don't have anything to say. What is thoughts and talks, or what you thought about the episode, the topics that was discussed, along with other things. We're on Reason FM. We're on Google Podcasts. And don't forget to listen to Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and last but not least, the YouTube. I need you guys to do your part on subscribing to the YouTube channel by grabbing the subscribe button alongside with the notification bell so you can be reminded of when the show goes on the air via live stream. Be sure to keep a lookout for more video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes. Be sure to leave a like and a comment along with the episodes, with the topics. Share the video, download your favorite episodes. Be sure to tell a friend to tell a friend. Be sure to share the podcast along with audio streaming platforms that was just discussed with your friends. All right. And also, you also do the same with my other YouTube channel, which is Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast. Be sure to catch up on all the episodes of Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast on YouTube alongside with Anchor and other streaming platforms whatsoever. And last time I checked on Anchor, we have over 1K. I think it's like 1,119. How about that, man, for the amount of plays and downloads? And listen, man, and as I'm approaching the 1 year anniversary of this show right here, as we go into October and November and December, which is, of course, you know, the 3 months to the end of 2021, I'm still contemplating on how I'm going to celebrate this. It's probably not going to be champagne, though, man. I'm trying to keep it a little simple. So, without further ado, like I always say at the end of the show, man, be sure to reach out to your loved ones. What is your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your family members, your friends? I mean, that person could be fine on the outside, but on the inside, that person might be going through something on the inside. That's why mental health is important. It's not a taboo subject, motherfuckers. It's a real thing that's happening to a lot of people. And of course, you know, anything related to mental health is, of course, you know, traumatic, along with other things. And, you know, listen, man, not everything is going to be all glitz. Not everything is going to be sunshines and rainbows. You know what I mean? And also, you don't have to wait every year for Mental Health Awareness of May to actually reach out to somebody. And there is no good time to reach out to somebody, man. You just go with your gut and your instincts and your heart. You know what I'm saying?
And also, if you have a dream of being a podcaster and you want to create one like I'm doing right now, don't let any other career fields whatsoever, don't let anybody stop you from doing what you love to do that makes you happy. It doesn't matter if it's your parents or anything like that, though, man. And there's always one question that I always like to remember is this. You got to ask yourself this question. Are you doing this to please your parents, your friends, or yourself? Because if you're doing this for yourself, that means you're only focusing on yourself and not worrying about other people. You know what I mean? That way you can concentrate on your happiness, not the miserable mobile of the haters and shit, man. And you don't let these clown burgers online flizzies tell you what you can and can't do. And for those of you who may not know what that is, it means internet thugs. So don't let them stop you from being happy. You eat them up with success, Homer Simpson style, like this. And listen, man, this has been a great episode 64, man. And stick around for the next episode, all right? I am going to get into the details of my third podcast sometime tomorrow. I will break down the meaning behind it sometime either tomorrow or Saturday. So listen, man, I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you so much for tuning in, rocking with me, listening to me speak my mind by expressing myself, as the song by NWA goes, express yourself, which is what I believe in. And this is what the show is about, expressing yourself on what you are feeling, your thoughts and talks, your facts, your opinions. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to always agree to every single thing, man. And that's okay. You know what I mean? And listen, man, be safe out there. Make sure you take care of your loved ones. Be sure you mask up. Make sure you have your hand sanitizer with you at all times. Make sure you wash your hands with water and soap. And be sure to care for other people. And that's going to conclude this show. I'm clocking out. Thank you so much for listening. Peace and one love, and have a great night. And be careful out there. And, you know, be creative, have hope, unity, and of course, positivity. One love, and have a great night.
Listen, folks, if you like what you heard, I need your help on a couple things. If you like to support Off the Meat Rack Chains New York podcast, you can show some love by following the show on Facebook and Instagram with the same name at Off the Meat Rack Chains NY podcast. OFFTHEMEATRACKCHAINZNYPODCAST. Alongside with my primary Instagram handle, GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. And go to the YouTube channel, GMoneyStacks555. Be sure to click the subscribe button. Grab the notification bell so you can be reminded on when the show goes on the air live via live stream. More video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes that will automatically be posted after the recordings. Like, comment on the episodes with the topics, share the videos, download your favorite episodes, rate, spread the word to a friend, to other individuals. Please be sure to share the podcast with audio streaming choices to your friends. The audio streaming services includes Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Pocket Cast, Podbay, Podfriend, Podcast Addict, Podorama, Podchaser, Reason FM, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. I'm G Money Stacks, and thank you, listeners and watchers, for tuning into the podcast. One love.